We'll start in Genesis 4 and 6 and 7 is what we're focusing on. Cain's relationship with God. Let's get a little bit of the setting. We'll start with verse 3 and probably go through 16. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it, should rule over it, but you should rule over it." Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of the Lord's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." And the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Consequences for our actions. So Cain brought an offering. We don't have much, we're not told much about what they were, if it was asked for or if it was just free will. There seems to be a lot of communication, a lot of relationship that's behind the scenes as far as our record is. But I don't see that the offering was a bad offering if his heart would have been right. We have examples later on when Moses gives what offerings they are to bring. Some of those include crops. They're not all animals. So it seems to be more Cain's attitude, his approach, whatever's behind the scenes with Cain. But God did not look as favorably on Cain's offering as he did on Abel's. So then we get to verse 6, and the Lord says, to Cain, why are you angry? Why do you burn, kindled a burning anger? In the connotation of you don't have a reason to be angry. At least not by God's response. That wasn't a correct reaction to God's response. And we'll get that in verse 7 as God speaks. And why is your countenance fallen? His face showed the anger. If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do well to be good, glad, pleasing, if God's saying, if you do what pleases me, you can expect to be accepted. If you do what doesn't please me, bring me pleasure, what doesn't satisfy, what I haven't asked, get too many negatives in here. If you do what you're doing gets tied to acceptance. And that acceptance is an exaltation. It's a swelling up of in God's pleasure, an uprising of His pleasure. He created us for His pleasure. And so as long as we don't reject Him, it seems like Cain rejected God in some level. And if you do not do well, then expect the consequences. Sin lies at the door. That voluntarily departing from God, departing from what is good, and what God says is good, He says it's good because it is good. It's not good because He decides it's good, and it's the way He designed it. We can't undo that. And God doesn't undo it. Love is good because of the results, the effect it has on others. Not just because God decided that, okay, this is going to be good and that's not. He set it up for things to work together or against. Sin lies at the door. What picture do you get of sin lying at our door? Do you get any picture? Help? We need help to overcome, don't we? Because that picture is sin stretching out to trip us up. Lying at the door as in stretching across the doorway and ready to catch us. The door is not necessarily a bad door to go through. But it depends on how you look at it. It could be the sins trying to get us to look at the wrong door. But it's kind of a picture of stretching out and ready to trip us up. Satan likes to give us a door to go through, but it's not the door that, it's not really leading to a beneficial place. The door we're supposed to walk through, so the picture I get that even sin will stretch itself across the path that we're supposed to walk sometimes. And its desire is for you. That's a longing. Something that effort gets applied to accomplish its goal. But you should rule over it. You should have dominion. You should have reign. You should take control over the sin. We do that through the power of Jesus. But we have to, God doesn't force us to rule over sin. We have to make the choice to, and he gives us the power to rule, to have dominion over sin, at least in the realm of our life. Not necessarily totally. We don't have dominion over sin to say, okay, everybody that's here no longer has to face anything. Universally, we don't have that dominion, but we do over it affecting our own lives. So God's saying to Cain here, take the challenge and rule over it. We see that he doesn't. He gives in and he lets that bitterness keep on going. But we have that choice to do well or not to do well, to choose to overcome or not. Ecclesiastes 8. Ecclesiastes 8, 11 and 13. Because the sentence against, let's see. Let's start with verse 10. Then I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of holiness, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This also is vanity. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. We get the idea, because we don't see a consequence immediately, that we're getting by with things. And we have a tendency to set our heart to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him. but it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God. The consequences are coming. In the end, those that fear God will do well. We'll have, let me rephrase that. Those that fear God will do well because of their fear of God, and in the end, they'll get the consequences of that. Isaiah 3:10. Isaiah 3:10 and 11. Saying to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. The follow through, the results of righteousness or the results of wickedness, is a consequence that is set up. There's no getting around it. Cain ended up seeing those consequences. Some of them are farther in the future than others. Some consequences are more immediate. We get a joy out of righteousness now. The ultimate consequence of eternal life is yet to come. There's a bitterness that comes along with sin now, immediately. We as people have a tendency to try to ignore that and say, well, I can enjoy this. And there is an amount of fake enjoyment with evil. But there's also a consequence of bitterness and unsettledness that comes now and in the future, the eternal result of it is going to come. Romans 2. So our focus is on verses 6 through 11. But I'll read some before and after to keep the setting of what's happening. Let's start with verse 2. Romans 2, 2. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you desire the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anger on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. The results of what we do and who we are from the inside out. On the surface, sometimes we might say the doing is equal of two different people, but God says one is evil and one is good. One is righteous and one is evil. Cain and Abel both brought offerings. But there was a difference in their hearts. Verse 8 talks about self-seeking. To do a good action with the motivation of my own benefit is a different position in God's sight than to let Him clean me up and then the same action as a result of that. God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. He will render eternal life. According to the deeds that deserve eternal life. Now, before we go too far, what is that? What deeds for us put us in a position to receive eternal life?
Believing
in who? Jesus and the one that sent him, God the Father. That's the deeds that we can do. Everything else has to come in line with that, otherwise it's the self-seeking side. That's an area that sin likes to stretch out before us and try to trip us. Because it's not a totally we can't do anything. We have to believe. But we can't be good of ourselves either. So, to those who believe, God will render eternal life. Eternal life, glory, honor, and immortality. And while we're on that, verse 7 and 10, and glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good. So some of that is consequences now. And some of it will carry over in the future. He will render to each one according to his deeds. And in verse 8, that rendering is indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. We see the two opposites. For there is no partiality with God. He will judge the secrets of men. How will he judge the secrets of men?
Through the cross.
I'm sorry?
He judged him through the cross.
Through the cross, yes. Through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Through the cross. There's no partiality, but there is still consequences for what we choose and what we don't choose. His lack of partiality does not negate his justice. John 5. John 5, starting with 24. These are Jesus' words. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. We won't come into judgment because judgment's already passed. But most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. I'll say, he already established that he is God. So then, because he is also the Son of Man, he has that added authority to execute judgment, understanding everything that we go through from the viewpoint of what human is also. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own. I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. The final consequences of here he's saying doing good or doing evil, which comes down to, do we accept or do we reject God himself? We have to allow him to define the good and the evil also. So as God told Cain to choose, he tells each one of us to choose. Are we going to do well or not? Father, thank you for the opportunity that you give us to choose you. Sometimes I marvel at, why would anyone not choose you? And all I have to do is remember my past. Why didn't I sooner? And you are so good, so worthy of our praise and honor. You're the difference between life and death. And that is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that is for all of us. Now to you, Father, who is able to establish us according to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of mystery, kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God, you, Father, for obedience to the faith, to you, God, alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.